You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
I've never meant to kiss about
you. They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend, and hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it wasn't, and it had to get done, it must be done, it will get done, because why? You will do it, and you will do it safely. We appreciate you for that. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Click on that, in the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and entitled. But you can also go to babaoshi.net. Go to babaoshi.net. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. From 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds on Mondays. From 6 to 8 on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Jihad Ahmed out of Philadelphia. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kambon and Nataki Kambon. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, from 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. That's right. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m. on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council with the Sankofa Elders Council. Sorry about that. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American, African, and owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American, African, owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, go to the website, WeBuyBlack.com. I was on there earlier, and all kinds of products, all kinds of services are there. Believe me, everything you need is there. And that's what we must do, I know. So, anyway. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org, Brother Bamani Tahemba, who has been taking our people to the motherland on a trip of a lifetime for many years now with over 400 of our people. And his next trip upcoming is to Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th, 2021. And that's followed by a trip to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2022. And then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2022. Once again, back to Ghana. Brothers and sisters, you just need to pay $400 down on a deposit. Pay on it. It is $3,700. All the trips, everyone I mentioned, is $3,700. I'm quite sure there'll probably be another one forthcoming. But brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org or give Brother Womani a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomonti. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomonti2007. And he updates those. So his last trip to Ghana just passed year, and then to Tanzania the middle of last year. So great photos, great information. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. There's a good program, but on the Pan-African Federalist Movement website, there was a great program on Renoko, and it was by Hapi, H-A-P-I, Hapi. That is what they used to call, that is the name of the Nile. The Nile River is Hapi. That's the name of the Nile River. It's not Nile River. It's Hapi, the Hapi River. And Sister Felicia Hapi and Brother what's that brother's name? I can't get it right now, but it'll come to me. They were leading moderating a Zoom call, and they have it taped on the Pan-African Federalist Movement. It's definitely worth watching. Great. Of course, some of the same scholars that were on Carl Nelson's show this past, that Thursday or Friday, I think it was Thursday, it was this past Thursday, the Carl Nelson show. You know, Taki, Brother Taki, and the Hapi program, and it's beautiful. It really is very fitting, and I like some of the cutaways they had of Renoko talking and so forth. Renoko's birthday is next week. He would have been 67, and so next week we will have a tribute to Brother Baba Renoko Rashidi. We'll do a tribute. Let me get back to the announcement. I'll make some more announcements in a minute, but yeah, Brother Renoko. Habesha Incorporated.org, brothers and sisters. They are doing the work. Habesha Incorporated.org. They have the programs here in the States, the Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds and Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. Sustainable Agriculture, and of course, the Kashi Project in Ghana. When you go to HabeshaIncorporated.org, you will see the beautiful people, the brothers and sisters that work the Kashi Project, the buildings that are being put up in Ghana. So, and of course, they have a repatriation initiative, learning how to go back. Check that out. So HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. Brothers and sisters, they deal with the four areas of human existence: food, water, shelter, and clothing. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. By being a member of the LEDGE Group, you have an opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. You can buy land at $250 an acre. Get 4 acres. That's a huge amount of land for $1,000 in Tanzania. And there's your retirement. You can build a house. I mean, everything that you would need to do that, brothers and sisters, be top shelf. I'm serious. I know this. I've been to Africa. I can't speak for Tanzania because I've never been there. But other parts of it, with your pension and your savings and so forth, you can live freely.
not for free. BB Toomey, ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBITUMI.com. They don't have any events posted. I'm hoping, maybe I should talk to Baba to find out if, why I don't have any events posted, because usually they have a Saturday series. And but I know one of the things that they have is they have the the classes starting soon. They have the classes. They have a Swahili class starting soon this month, later on this month. And if you listen to this program, you will know I advocate that we must learn Kiswahili. I'm saying Swahili because it is a language spoken not just in East Africa, but in other parts of Africa as well. And we need to speak in a language that is ours and that others don't speak. You know, when you see the Chinese, when you see Africans, particularly in Southern Africa, learning Mandarin, damn it, Chinese. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. We'll get off into that a little bit later. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, right across the street from So Veg, and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. We have Marcus Garvey Day upcoming. We have Marcus Garvey Day coming up, and a lot of things are planned. I'm not sure if there's booth space and other vending space and so forth, but please, if you plan to do that at Marcus Garvey commemoration, which is 12 noon to 6 this Saturday, it's going to be big. And based upon what I've been hearing and seeing, you know, that it's this Saturday the 14th. You know, his birthday was the 17th. Renoko's the 16th. And so give them a call at the Shrine at 404-254-5122. 404-254-5122. And so you can vend at the Shrine. The Shrine is open. Their gift shop, and where they sell, they got furniture, clothing, jewelry, books. Of course, the books, the red, black, and green shoes, all those things are at the Shrine. And they're open on Friday and Saturday, from 1 to 7. From 1 to 7. But Wadada is located right across the street from the Zovich at 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Their number is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. And that is Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Go check her out. If you're in the area, go check her out at the Greenbrier Mall. She's planning to have Mama Baina Bello, and I know Mama Baina Bello is ready to go. I know she's here. She's still in the States. She's not in Haiti. So give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kind of good stuff. Give her a call. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here in Atlanta, with Brother Gazimde Ajamu, the proprietor. I love what he's done with the space there in the Black Dot. It's beautiful. Go check it out. It's a sacred space, a secure space. Give him a call if you're looking for a particular book. The same with the Shrine, is because the Shrine sells books at the bookstore, as well as, and there's three bookstores in that area. It's great. 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. He also sells coffee, delicious coffees. He sells in bulk if you want to do that. So, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujima. Us Lifting Us, brothers and sisters, every Thursday night. The Thursday night broadcast at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 10, from 9 p.m. to 10. Us Lifting Us on blogtalkradio.com/ULU at 9 p.m. If you want to call to listen, you can do that. If you want to ask a question, a comment, or concern, you press 1, and they'll put you in the queue, and you can do that by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night and from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. That's Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, brothers and sisters, go to sanjay-haiti.org, sanjay-haiti.org. Look at the great work that Sister Gabby is doing with the children, the education. They have four components: education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. As you know, they ain't getting no government funds. So what they do is on them, but you can help. Ackerman Institute, the educational program that Baba Baruti and Mama Baruti is ongoing, starting. You can have your child enrolled in Ackerman Institute, and you can support Ackerman Institute. You can send a check or money order to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. You can use Cash App or PayPal. Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, the letter M, and Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Baba Baruti's books are for sale. Go to AckermanHouse.com, AckermanHouse.com, and you can check out the finest selection of books that Baba Baruti has written, and make your selection. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. First, let me do this. There's going to be a book signing next week on the 18th. So on Monday, the 16th, my guest will be Mama Tamu, and she will be signing her book. In fact, she will be talking about her book, 1148 Lewis Street, The Target of the COINTELPRO and the Long Journey. Mama Tamu Kiyama, her husband is Brother Hakima of Us Lifting Us, the chairman emeritus of Us Lifting Us. Brother Akima, just as a side note, I remember when it was a shootout with the government in Mississippi. The Republic, RNA, Republic of New Africa. And he went to prison. And I remember him getting out, and they had a reception for him. I just so happened to be to be there. It was held at Arambe Elementary School in the cafeteria, and it's 1980, I believe, 80 or 81. It might have been 81. 1981, you know. And then they moved here to Atlanta. So she'll talk all about it next week, Monday, and then the book signing is Wednesday. It's going to be at the Core, 2857 Main Street in East Point, Georgia. And it's going to be from 4 to 8 p.m., and she's going to speak at about 5 o'clock. Mama Tamu, she's a beautiful woman. Just a beautiful woman. Her spirit is, yeah, beautiful. Beautiful family. Love them. Baba Kima and Mama Tamu. So that's next week, Monday. Okay. Okay. Let me deal with the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You know, like I say, I always say that whatever subject I have, it seems that by the ancestors and so forth, that the Inye Sesim, I be hitting it, you know? I be hitting it. August 8th. I'm fully aware in making this appeal to my much afflicted and suffering brethren that I shall not only be assailed by those greatest earthly desires are to keep us in abject ignorance and wretchedness, and who are of the firm conviction that heaven has designed us and our children to be slaves and beasts of burden to them and their children. I say I do not only expect to be held up to the public as an ignorant, impotent, and restless disturber of the public, as a disturber of the public peace by such arduous creatures, as well as a mover of insubordination, and perhaps put in prison or to death for giving a superficial exposition of our miseries and exposing the tyrants that they are. But I am persuaded that many of my brethren, particularly those who are ignorantly in league with the slaveholders or the tyrants, who acquire their daily bread by the blood and sweat of their more ignorant brethren, and not a few of those, too, who are too ignorant to see an inch beyond their noses, will rise up and call me cursed. David Walker. David Walker's appeal. Let us move out of delusion and be clear. This is Yoruba's reality, not ours. They are the power brokers here, so it is no problem for them to use themselves every now and then, now or at any other historical period, as scapegoats when they are not, or excuse me, as scapegoats when they can no longer conceal the truth from us. Doing so poses no problem for them because it is neither changes the power imbalance between us and them, nor does it in any meaningful way alter the status of their privilege relative to us. Admitting wrongdoing and issuing apologies are no more than consciously calculated tactics employed in this game they play on those they can only possibly imagine as enemy. Repentance is an act. Affirm, I'm aware of my enemies within and outside of my culture. Affirm, I'm aware of my enemies within and outside my culture. August 9th. It is in silence that the real meaning of words is interpreted. It is not in noise, in anger or confusion. It is only in silence that words are interpreted. Those who speak with mouths closed are best understood. Nana Tigray. Not being able to leave a disagreement without having the last word is another habit that follows those unable to control their tongues. In their determination to have the final say in every dispute, they fail to see that the last word is not always spoken. In fact, silence can be one of the greatest indicators of power. Often people secure in their power, especially over the presence and or will of their opponent, do not give the last word. There is no need. Their decision or point is understood by most all involved, except seemingly their opponent. It is understood that the discussion ends with them, regardless of who remains talking. Knowing your power and those foolish enough to question it without thinking about what their tongues are showing you
is the key to winning any war. Intelligence is gathered through quiet study of enemies, not open challenges which reveal your weaknesses. Without conscience, silent. Even though simple points cannot be understood, for silence opens the way to greater depths of contemplation. And in it, during war, a warrior's intelligence is born. Affirm, I see in silence. Affirm, I see in silence. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts. I'm going to read Kwame Nkrumah's quote and this quote here, and then follow that up with Bob Marley. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber that I do not think we could ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good, and Semit, and damn it, some of them do, and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. This was said in February 2nd of 1835, Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament. Asshole. Kwame Nkrumah said this, and this is the speech of freedom in 1961. He helped guide Ghana to freedom in 1957. Ghana was the first country to break from colonial rule, from England, from the British. He said, I believe strongly and sincerely that we, with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African race or the African culture united under one, this is key, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, and friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Unfortunately, he said this some time later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Man. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of the European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from European thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered worldview. Why? Because we are Africans. But also because the future to which Europe leads us is genocide. And we must understand what genocide truly is. The European Jew did not suffer genocide. The European Jew suffered mass murder. the brothers and sisters that lived on the island of Tasmania suffered genocide. Genocide is extinction. The Taino people on the island of what is now Haiti and Dominican Republic suffered genocide. So I know the European Jew has co-opted that word. And you hear the word genocide, you think of the European Holocaust. It's mass murder. It is not genocide. And so be it. Yeah. I tell you.
Africa, unite, cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land, yeah. How good and how pleasant it would be before God and man, yeah, to see the unification of all Africans. It's been said already, let it be done, yeah. We are the children of the Rastaman. We are the children of the Iron Man. Africa, unite, cause the children. Of Babylon, and we're proving to our father's land. Yeah, how good and how pleasant it would be before God and man to see the unification of all Rasta man. Yeah, as it's been said already, let it be done. Tell you who we are under the sun. We are the children of the Rastaman. We are the children of the Iron Man. Oh, Africa, unite. Africa, unite, yeah.
Unite. No ifs, ands, or course, buts about it. We must unite. Must together come together as one. The demographics has been mentioned on this program numerous times. We talk about what the demographers have said about Europeans, that they're suffering from negative population growth. For every two that die, only one is born. As a consequence, Europe and the Americas, white Caucasian people, period, even in Australia, that, of course, if nothing is done, then they will be probably, you know, number one, by 2040, there will be a minority in this country, not because of us, but because of Latinos, because we used to be the second under Caucasians, but because of birth rates and immigration and so-called illegal immigration, they are the second largest cultural group. Number one in California. But the other one is, of course, is Asians. Because our population growth is stagnant. I saw a thing that said that we were 13% of this country's population. Understand, our population is young. The European population average age is in the 30s. Ours was in the mid to late teens, early 20s, prime age for birthing. But yet, our population is stagnant. Reasons? Brothers ain't dealing with sisters. Mass incarceration. Homosexuality. Some kind of abuse, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or something like that. Some just ain't playing any shit. They ain't about nothing. And so our birth rate should have continued to climb. But of course it has not. So we're going to look at demographics. It is a serious concern. It's a serious concern because Europeans, some evil mothers, they have been trying to kill us for centuries. And they have trained us to kill ourselves for centuries, for decades. The African demographic miracle. This is an African history piece that I'm reading from. This is what I've picked up off the net. Great site. A lot of information I'll be gleaning from this in for programs to come. In fact, there's a quote at the top of every page by Dr. Jopp. And of course, we did gave Dr. Shinkanta Jopp some props, and we talked about the symposium, the 1974 symposium in Cairo, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that the ancient Kemetic people are African. Of course, I've been pushing, promoting the Great Pyramid K 2019 documentary, substantiating what Jopp had already said. But not only did they talk about on that documentary of who built the pyramids, about how they were built. Ain't one of them damn aliens, wasn't no people from Atlantis, sure in the hell wasn't no Caucasians. It was us and our genius. It is a much watched. It is a much, I believe it's a game changer, but I'm saying, that's me. Watch the documentary if you can on YouTube. Go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K. It'll come up easily. 2019. I know it's 3.5 hours long. But in fact, I've watched it 3 times. I'm going to watch it again because I'm always learning more. Seeing more. And the more I see, the more I clearly understand the rationality and the possibilities of how they were built and how we did it. The African demographic, July 8th, 2017. All the G20 summit. G20, that's the developing countries. There's no African country in that G20. No African, they talk about the whole world, how they running the whole damn world. The G20 summit in Germany, an African journalist suffering from Caucasian savior syndrome asked French President Emmanuel Macron, when will the G20, especially France, launch a development plan for the continent? Macron perched on his Caucasian supremacy pedestal, did not expect such an opportunity. He responds arrogantly that the problem in Africa is that African women make 7 to 8 children on average. And such a birth rate, development is impossible. It's the same thing that what's Marco's married to? Prince Charles? No, Prince Harry. Harry, I think it's Harry. He said the same damn thing. That's why there is, brothers and sisters, there is a plan to eliminate African people. There is a plan. Because to me, it's not just controlling our birth, to make our birth equivalent to what Europeans are doing. That's not, no. That wouldn't do for Europeans. No, we must, they want us gone. There is no more use for us. All the cotton has been picked. Tobacco, sugar cane, all that's over. These openly expressed thoughts are in continuity of Mr. Sarkozy, who is obsessed with the demographics of Nigeria, or Bill Gates, who wants to reduce the African population with his vaccines. Vaccines. When he said that at a TED Talk, we have created vaccines for population control. And I was like, there it is. He said it out of my, he's speaking to these, to this group. And he says, we have created vaccines for I thought vaccines were to help increase population by getting rid of disease and neutralizing disease. No, not these people. Who wants to reduce the African population with his vaccines. This is an opinion shared by most of Western intelligentsia. They want to get, the Western intelligentsia wants to get rid of African people. Are you surprised? If you're surprised, no, don't let me go off. I'm like a ticking time bomb today, y'all. So forgive me if I do go off, because I probably will. The controversy born of this racist statement by Marcon allows to open with a broad echo the debate on African demography and to enlighten the Africans on the issues which are bound to it. In this article, we will take a look at the demographic history of the African continent, its current dynamics, and identify directions for the future. Does high population rhyme with poverty? Let us look at what are the major economic powers in the world today. China is first or second, according to the rankings, and is the most populous country in the world. They have huge population. The United States, first or second, is the third most populated country in the world. Now, understand something. China and the United States, very rich economically, but the population, now granted, there in order to, these are China's capitalists, okay, understand that. Okay, I know they say communism, but Chinese is capitalism. You know, it's capitalism for the hierarchy, communism for the proletariats, for the underclass. Same, really, it's the same here. Because both countries have a huge underclass. More so in China, of course. And it's more impoverished in China. But the same here. In Europe, Norwegians have the highest per capita income on, it says, continent. Europe is not a damn continent. It's not a continent. Europe is just the western part of Asia, but because of the arrogance and the attitude of Europeans, they made it a continent. Man. European Norwegians have the highest per capita in Europe, but are not the richest country and do not count politically. They don't count politically, the Norwegians. Why? Because the Norwegian population is low. Which country is the richest and most influential in Europe? And at the same time, the fourth richest country in the world? Germany. Germany has a problem because of demographics. Their population is too old. Germany, welcome. If you remember, a lot of Syrians were leaving out because of the war and so forth, going to Europe. Many of them were welcome in Austria and in Germany because the population is so old, they needed people to do work. And because even though they're Muslims, they ain't African. And they profess or present themselves like Caucasians. So they were welcomed in Germany to do the work, whatever that work was, manual, technical, whatever, because the German population is older. It's Germany. Why? Because Germany is the most populous country in Europe. If China, the United States, or Germany are so influential today, it is largely because of their populations are strong. On each continent, the most populous country is also the country that produces the most wealth. It's a constant. The United States, China, the United States here in the North America, China in Asia, Germany in Europe, Africa in Nigeria. While in Africa, it would be Botswana, for example, which was one of the highest per capita incomes on the continent, which should occupy this place. But Nigeria holds it because it has the advantage of the number with its 200 million inhabitants. So no, strong population does not rhyme with poverty, in contrary to what they want us to believe. Strong population rhymes with wealth and geopolitical power on the world stage. This is an undeniable advantage. 1.2 billion. It is the number of inhabitants in Africa, south of the Sudan. They're saying 1.2 billion south of the Sudan, because unfortunately, the northern part of Africa definitely does not identify with being African. The Arab population, Berbers and so forth, you know, to which the number of Africans in America should be included. We should be included in that. We are Africans. Although, okay, I just lost track there. What do these figures represent? Which is number, of course, you know, it says what I was saying before I got distracted, that many American Africans don't identify with being African. That's why I have pushed and will continue to push for let's determine unequivocally, undeniably who we are. We ain't black. We Africans. Black is a color. Dr. Clark said, when you conjure up, you talk about a people, you conjure up land, history, and culture. But we want to be black. And a problem with, and I know, now I talked about this with my dear friend, Baba Rinoco, because he likes to use black interchangeably. And I'm quite sure there's others. But what I was saying is that many of our people don't want to be African. Some don't want to be black. I'm American. I'm whatever. I sure don't want to be African. And that's our problem. Imagine if all of us kicked that black to the curb shit along with America. We're African. Closed ranks, pooled resources, we'd be the top people on the planet. we won't, because we scarred. We scarred. Is the African world heavily populated or overcrowded, has some say? No. Africans are the oldest people in the world. Humanity was born in Africa 200,000 years ago. And this birth preceded 100,000 years, the migration of those first Africans to other continents. So we stayed on the continent of Africa for 100,000 years, and then we started to migrate. And if you heard this program many times, you know that what makes human beings different when Africans left out of Central East Africa and migrated from that point, what made us different is our ability to adapt to the environments that we find ourselves in. Examples, when we went north into what is now Iraq, Iran, and further going north into higher elevations, into China, which is China. When you're in higher elevations, precipitation comes down not as rain or water. It comes down as snow or ice. It comes down as snow. And you, I mean, right here, let's listen. If it snowed today, it's been snowing all day today. Tomorrow, the sun shines. You go outside. The sun's rays creates a glare off the snow, the reflection, and your eyes, what? They squint because it hurts your eyes. You squint. That's what happened to us as part of a process of survival. Asians' eyes became very slanted. They squint. Hey, they have straight hair. Why you have straight hair? Because you need that insulation because of those cold climates. You don't need close curled hair. You don't need a broad nose, thick lips to take off the heat. You don't need that dark melanated skin, slender body. You have when you got into Europe and got cut off by that ice age, your body became stocky, big, fat. You needed fat to help with the environment. You had hair all over your body, particularly hair on your head that goes beyond your neck. Because why? When your heart pumps blood. The main place it has to pump that blood to is what? Your brain. When you pass the neck, that area is small in area. And if the weather is so damn cold, it will probably freeze that blood or make it coagulate before it can get. You won't get sufficient blood and oxygen to your brain. Hair all over your body. Long hair. Thin lips, thin nose. Your nose is pointing and thin because it needs to warm the cold air before it gets into your lungs. Your thin lips is holding in all the heat that you can. Europeans look like monkeys. We don't. They look like monkeys. You seen the pictures? Go look at them. It should therefore be expected that Africans originally placed in a climate as favorable as theirs are the most numerous in the world. Yet Africa today has a density of 42 inhabitants for every kilometer of territory. 42 inhabitants. Asia has 99. And Europe has 73. Why is Africa overpopulated? I remember one of the things that Harry said. You know, the animals could really suffer. There won't be any place for the animals. You know, the migration of the animals and grasslands and so, man, shut up. Africa is not overcrowded, contrary to Western propaganda. This is particularly the case of Central Africa, which is practically empty. The Congo is as big and bigger than Germany, but it's 16 times less populated. They're saying Germany is 16 times more populated than the Congo. The Central African Republic, as large as Germany and Italy combined, is 28 times less populated than the two. Gabon, as big as Great Britain, is 30 times less populated than Britain. Of course, London. Is one of the fourth largest cities in the world. The only place with densities comparable to these found in Western Europe are the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes, which is Nigeria and Ghana. What explains these low numbers? 78 to 84%. This interval is the percentage of reduction of the African population on south of the Sahara by the Arab captive trade, the European captive trade, and European colonialism. Africa did indeed have the largest population in the world at the end of the 15th century, the 1400s. The French geographer and demographer, Louis Marie Diabassay, who has done a research work on the African demographic evolution. Through her work, Afrique Noire, Demographe, I don't speak no damn French, concluded that before the territorial acts of the captivity, the population was between 600 to 800 million people. 350 years of raids, deportation, destruction of ancient African societies with their wealthy empires then brought that number to 200 million by the end of the 1800s. 400 years, the 1400s, 350 years of raids. And of course, the Europeans, once again, always finding a better way to kill your ass. When they came into Africa with the guns, not just the muzzles and that, They came with automatic weapons, Gatling guns, and continued to improve upon the weaponry. Later European colonization with its unspeakable crimes reduced that number to 137 million by the 1930s. By the beginning of the 20th century, the Africans were on the verge of extinction. The Maafa, is the African word for Holocaust. Maafa is Kiswahili, is Swahili. The Maafa has therefore caused 473 to 673 million casualties in Africa. It is an extermination, the greatest crime in human history. There is nothing possible to harm human beings that has not been done to us. There is nothing, possibly, nothing we have suffered at all. Ms. Jop concluded that the reason we are still here after 450 years of the apocalypse is that we were initially very numerous. Our strong past demographic or demography is the reason for our existence today, and in very remarkable way, it took off at the end of colonization. It took off again at colonization. Five, this is the figure by which the population in Africa. Oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break. And I'll come back because it's a little longer article. I'm going to take a break right here. We come back from the break. We'll continue this. Hopefully you'll join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
mañana.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'm not going to read the upcoming program. I just want to make these announcements. Wednesday's program, Dr. Umar Johnson will be my guest. We will have a lively discussion. You don't want to miss it. It will be informative, of course, and very spirited. And, of course, we look forward to your questions, comments, what's happening with Dr. Umar Johnson. That'll be Wednesday's program. Friday's program, my guest was going to be my dear friend, Baba Renoko Rashidi, Dr. Renoko Rashidi. My guest will be Brother Bashir Muhammad Pata Akinyele of Newark, New Jersey. He is a member of ASCAC. He's a chairperson of the study groups out in Mid-Atlantic. And he just got back from, in fact, they were leaving. He took the tour with Oshua Kwesi. He was leaving with Oshua Kwesi when Renoko's tour group was coming in. And we'll talk to him about his experiences, his understanding of what's happening, and just a dynamic brother. You can read his articles in Your Black World. If you don't have Your Black World, you can go into a Google or whatever search and put that in there. You'll get Your Black World and make it a favorite, and you get those. And he's a constant contributor. In fact, there's a few articles I'm going to be reading to prepare myself for our conversation on Friday. So, Your Black World. And of course, next week, Monday, will be Mama Tamu Kinyama. Mama Tamu Kinyama. And we'll be talking about the ordeal that her and her husband and other brothers and sisters of the Republic of New Africa had to face gunfire down in Mississippi and the long road and all the trials and tribulations that they had experienced. So, let's get back to the conversation that we're having, which is the demographics and what we must look forward to as African people. The number five, this is the figure by which the population in Africa was multiplied between 1960 and 2017. And half of the attacks was not enough to allow, like by magic, the number to increase sharply. Yet there have been a few, if any, birth rate incentives by the government. Despite malaria, AIDS, wars, famines, the African population continues to progress exponentially, apart from the global climate of peace. Why this meteoric rise? The reason for this growth can be found, an explanation is the vitality, the philosophy, whose central purpose is to predetermine life by all means, perpetuate life. The vitalist, the philosophy for Africans is to perpetuate. Having children meets then the standards of tradition, and it is felt as the way to continue the life given by the Creator, to acquire for himself eternal life through his descendants. What's more, with the sense of community and the help shared, it is normal to want a greater offspring to share with everything that life has given us. Hearing here, of course, is individualism. Hearing an individualistic Westerner saying that he does not want children or she don't want children to avoid the chores that go with it is incomprehensible. It is an aberration. On the other hand, while the average number of children per woman has decreased from 66 in 1960 to almost 7 to just 5 today,
It is now the decline in mortality in all age groups that justifies this increase even more, faster today than before. The improvement of medicine, therefore, supports population growth. Number four. This is the number by which African populations will multiply between today and the end of this century. Africa, in the southern of the Sahara, will have 4 billion inhabitants in 2100. More than one inhabitant in three on the planet will be African. This future announces a domination of Africa on the world, just like in pharaonic time. In the pharaonic period, Africa was the dominant culture, the dominant people on the planet. A future perspective to which the West has declared war on. Because why? I said four, right? Five kids. Theirs is 1.6. This is the average number of children that women in Europe, in the European Union, will have. We are here below two, a figure allowing to renew the generations. It's even lower in Germany. I just mentioned that earlier. Italy or Spain, despite all the financial incentives, and they have. They were paying women to have children. But yet they talked about population growth in other areas of the world and sent scientists, doctors, and so forth with drugs to stem population growth by others, not themselves. Remember, they were experiencing negative population growth. Despite all the financial incentives put at their disposal, European women did not want to have children or do not want to have enough. If Westerners are not concerned about their future demise because of their individualism, we have no reason to accompany them. I repeat, if Westerners, the Europeans, Caucasians, are not concerned about their future, and I believe they are, their future demise because of their individualism, but hey, that's a strong thing for Europeans. Individualism. We have no reason to accompany them. Nigeria, with this number that gives it legitimacy to guide Africa, will become in 2050, 29 years from now, one of the 10 richest countries in the world. The end of this century heralds a declining Europe and in Africa back to the geopolitical and economic foreground. This explains, on a backdrop of racism and white supremacy, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. That's why you see that definition, that describes them, Europeans, Caucasian, extreme. They will do any damn thing. They are extreme. Racism, because they created this whole idea and concept of it. And privilege. They believe they are the most privileged people on this planet. The Europeans' obsession with the uterus of African women and the verbal attacks against African women who are thought to be mad. There is a deep fear of the future power of Africa. Repeat, there is a deep fear. That's what your boy Chuck D said, didn't he? Fear of a black planet. Fear of a black planet. The future power of Africa. The current debate is part of a movement that began in the 20th century, the 1900s. Thus, France forcefully stepped. France. God, I hate the French and the all of them. Anyway, the French forcefully sterilized African women on the island of Reunion. The legalization of abortion was passed in the U.S. in the 1970s, with some of it perhaps aimed at targeting American Africans. Richard Nixon, suggested that voters would back the law because they would think what's going to be aborted generally are little black bastards. The introduction of drugs by secret services in the American African communities in the 1980s, the crack epidemic, all the other drugs, drugs laced with chemicals, with its share of violence, then mass incarcerations of American African men by the laws of Bill Clinton in the 1990s, blew up the social organizations. More to that is the fact that so many successful American African men refuse, damn it, to marry American African women by alienation, which contributes to this disintegration. Therefore, at the time of segregation, marriage was the norm amongst American Africans. Today, 48% of American African women have never been married, compared to 30% of all other so-called American women combined. They therefore resort, given their unstable situation, massively to abortion. 1 in 8 women in the United States is American African, 1 in 8. But 1 in 3 abortions is made by an American African woman. American Africans have gone from the second group to the third behind Latinos. We were second for a long time. I'm almost 70. I'll be 70 next year. And you could see as I looked and coming of age and gaining information and so forth, when we were solid second, and the number wasn't that, between us, even Caucasian, wasn't that bad. But their numbers started to decline. Our numbers held fast, but we were not gaining because it was stagnant. And then, bam, here come the Latinos. And here come the Asians. Here come the Asians. If their numbers continue to stagnate, and as I just mentioned, we will be fourth. The Asians. This declining power result in a reinforcement of the mistreatment that is done to us. In South Africa, work was done during the apartheid to develop diseases to kill us. Dr. Wootton Basin, President P.W. Botha's personal physician, created chemicals and biological weapons in the 1980s. He was looking for a black bomb to exterminate Africans. If you've seen the movie Dry White Season about South Africa, in the beginning of the movie, they show a man running into the beer garden. There's a beer garden. And these brothers weren't drinking beer out of a stein. You know what a stein is, a big ass, you know, or a cup. They were drinking beer out of pails. He runs in and says, look, that's what they want you to do. They want you to drunk, because you'll be drunk so you will not fight for your freedom. I read that about putting chemicals in beer and trying to sterilize us way back in the 80s. And there's a picture of him, Wootton Basin, lives free today when actually he killed Africans with his inventions. Siri, arrogant, smug-looking cracker. All contraceptive promotion campaigns funded by non-governmental organizations, NGOs in Africa, are also working in this direction. While we recognize, of course, the right of women to use contraception, we say that the West has nothing to do with their well-being. The only goal is to lower the birth rate and to see them also disappear. It must be added that if the debate on the danger of an African overpopulation meets a favorable echo for many Westerners today, it is because the first stage of the extermination of a people has been successfully applied. In the whole history before exterminating a people, it was first necessary to destroy their image. to destroy their image, to dirty it, to reduce it to the ranks of subhumans, to make it pass for useless and harmful, to be able to justifiably its physical disappearance. Therefore, it was so with the Armenians and the Jewish. Well, once again, I said, I don't know if Armenians were totally extinct. I'm showing the hell no European Jews ain't. So they don't quite. Once again, brothers and sisters, look at the definition. It doesn't fit the definition. Just like slavery does not fit a definition for us as a people. Because the European Jew is doing what the European Jew does. Control shit. In the case of Africa, the destruction of our image began to justify the European captivity trade. The falsifications of the glorious history of African, civilizer of the humanity, the racist prejudices about lazy and savage Africans who spent the time having sex, the massive spread in the media of Africans' current problems and the denial of its advances, gangster rap, which gives an undereducated and violent image of Africans. All this contributes to the cultural murder which must make accept and precede our mass physical extinction. All of this contributes to the cultural murder which must make acceptance and precede our mass physical extermination. Which attitude to adopt? Faced with this intensing war, we are and most consistently consider ourselves as a people threatened with extermination, extinction. Our history tells us that our demography has saved us, and that we must keep it at all costs. Our continent is the richest continent on the face of this earth in natural resources. Had it not been for the foreign attacks, we'd probably be some 4 to 6 billion people, or even more rich people today. It is therefore appropriate for us to correct history if, until now, it has not been possible to make us disappear. The West will succeed one day if we do nothing, given the means implemented. There's no doubt about it. I have a picture here of the Africans being all happy. Bill Gates is giving a vaccine to a little child. They may already be using vaccines. They may contaminate the water. Who knows? NGOs under the veil of feminism and progress will always encourage more women to reduce their numbers of children. The pressure and effects will intensify. These are the kinds of challenges that lie ahead. If some believe that prayers are enough, we will die with our prayers. Who do you pray to? You ain't praying to our ancestors. You ain't praying to African gods. That's why your damn prayers don't get answered. It is the responsibility of African women to perpetuate Africa. We must therefore give them, in accordance with a fundamental African tradition, the equality of rights and leverages in the power of political decisions. We have detailed here. In order to maintain an average number of children per woman of 4 to 5, it is they who will decide, first and foremost, what financial incentives they will need, maternity leave, professional career protection measures, in the event of birth, funds to be allocated to fitness centers, daycare centers. It is up to African women, so great and vulnerable, to define the most comfortable settings in which they will want to continue to birth children, the birth effect. Finally, medicine in Africa must continue to make progress. Malaria and AIDS, in particular, must be defeated. The number of deaths due to these diseases must continue its descent. And it has. It has dissented, but it is still there. Four billion of. If the future of African raises hope, it would be necessary to ensure the cultural and economic conditions in which all these future Africans will live. It would be necessary to fight so that it is not 4 billion Africans who are ashamed of Africa, but of African intellectually awake and proud of their stature of civilizers of the humanity. It will be 4 billion Muslims and Christians. It won't be. It will not be. It will not be 4 billion Muslims and Christians with an inferiority complex facing Europeans and Arabs, but 4 billion Africans, most vital, who will have contact with the Creator without passing through imperialist foreigners. It will not be 4 billion poor, but 4 billion rich and middle class people who will consume Africa. It will not be 4 billion making the linguistics force of Europeans who despise them infinitely, but 4 billion speaking African language, Kiswahili, Hausa, Igbo, name it, Fanti, Bumbara. It must be the victory of our joy of living, our songs, our dance, our rites, our feasts, our values. It is therefore a profound cultural and economic transformation to which we must work with it, its endless opportunities. Conclusion. Africa's strong past demographics are why Africans still exist in today's dynamic. In today's dynamic is the reason why Africa will take over geopolitical and economic leadership. There is absolutely no question for Africa to change its birth rate. Births are needed, especially in Central Africa. It is on this condition that we will find our status in the world, and as it was 3,500 years ago in ancient Kemet when we ruled the world. If the Europeans want to disappear, it is no concern of us. It is not our concern if Europeans want to disappear, and I hope that they do. Mr. Macron coming out has had the advantage of making Africans aware of the West's desire to see them fade away. The demographic miracle that Africa is experiencing today is a great hope for the future with its challenges and opportunities. This rebirth that is announced will also be a revenge of the past. Despite everything that has been done to us, we are still here. Despite the terrible hatred, contempt, ignorance, and paternalism that the entire planet, that all of those people that were born from us and have been civilized by us have for us, we, the first humans and civilizers of humanity, are always here. We think in particular of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the most martyred country in Africa. After having been decimated and impoverished by Europeans, the so-called trade, after having experienced 1,232 million deaths under Belgium, King Leopold, the colonization, and despite the 8 million deaths, at least in the current genocide in the east of the country, the Congolese are still here. They are 80 million and continue to grow. Congo suffers but does not break. If the Congo has not disappeared, the whole of Africa must not disappear. Hotep, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Madasi, Madasi, Madasi P. Join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. There's some other information, statistical information, you know, on the demographics. But I think what's important, but, you know, when you have a society that promotes and perpetuates individualism, it speaks to that person individually, of course. And that person, if that person has been fed images and notions of inferiority of African people, fed all the things that we can or cannot do and so forth, and all this negativity and all this, then no, you want to be an individual, you know. You want to be judged on the content of your character, not the color of your skin. And you want what they have. You want their jobs. You want to live by them. You don't want a black. No. You want to be able to be in their space. They don't want your ass there, but you want to be in their space. You want to be part of what they're doing. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to go through these statistics. But I mean they're there. You can easily get them. You know, blackdemographics.com. Blackdemographics.com. Population. Black women statistics, you know, because we got to look at the sisters, because those are the ones who are going to do the birthing. We got to look at the sisters, you know. They are our key. They have always been the key to humanity. Not men, women. And we had it right. We had it right about honoring women, and that women were just as important, that in ancient Kemet, to the height of women. Now, I know it says in Islam, but you can see what it says and what it does is two different things. Because while the boxes was, I mean, you can make the argument that the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda or what's the other names of terrorist group, El Shabaab, you know, all of these very negative women about women. And that's what really bothers me about Islam, because it says that, but yet, and the fact that we have embraced that bull to the extent. Now, I don't mean to call it bullshit, because I mean, if the religion has respect for us, just like Christianity, if it truly has respect for us, we wouldn't get treated the way we do within that religion. And so therefore, I contend and maintain that, no, we shouldn't be dealing with any religion that is not African in its origin. I may come back and deal with this statistics on another day. A lot of it's interesting. A lot of it's interesting in as it relates to our sisters. And like I said, our sisters are the ones that, if we are talking about a country can be strong because of birth, the only people that birth are women. And the fact that other cultures are not, and yet we still are, even though we have gone through so much. We have gone through a lot, and we'll continue to go through a lot, especially if we don't embrace. I'm going to just, you know, I like to keep it right here. I like to keep it 100, as the saying goes. If we do not embrace Pan-Africanism, it is, let me repeat, it is the only solution for African people. The only solution. This program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, what do we talk about? And I appreciate those who call in and listen to get you a dose of what we truly need. And that is information about ourselves and each other that puts us in the perspective of loving ourselves, loving each other, be willing to trust one another, work with one another, to rid us and get ourselves up this out of this muck and mire that we're in. So this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday talks about independence. We need to be an independent people. We rely on no one but ourselves. We close ranks, we pull resources, and we do for ourselves. We're independent, self-determining. Nobody speaks for us outside of us. We are self-determining people. We feel and know what is good for us, and that guides us, and no one can sway us. No one can tell us anything different. Liberation. We are liberated. We have broke away from all those things that have held us down, all those things that made us think that we were no good, that we were inferior. We have broke away. And of course, sovereignty. We are sovereign. We are a sovereign people.
You know, I haven't read Sovereignty in a while. And since we nobody's on the call, let me read what sovereignty is.
The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. That's the bottom line. Only thing, we don't want compromise. We don't want sharing. We don't want none of that. We want to be sovereign. Self-determination, liberation, sovereignty. This program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, is Pan-African. Its motto is Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. That's the bottom line. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, our story, our culture, time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interest, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether aliens or traitors. And how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-respecting, and self-empowered. And since no nation has ever rose to power, has risen to power, and stay there without holding their own traditions sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are has a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty is the ultimate goal. What is the end game? The end game is sovereignty. I know I'm not naive, brothers and sisters. I know that when you watch TV, when you hear the politicians, the religious leaders, the end game is inclusion. The end game is ending racism and discrimination. It'll never happen. It hasn't happened. It's not happening, and it ain't gonna happen. That's the end game. I understand everybody on the planet is trying to secure their life. They're trying to find means. They're trying to find work. Or they're trying to create something that will create means. See, that could change for us if we embrace independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. If we embrace that, we're going to fight to be a sovereign people. We're not accepting anything from Caucasians particularly. We ain't accepting nothing from Chinese. We ain't accepting nothing from Asians, Arabs. We ain't accepting nothing from nobody but Africans. That's why it's important that we listen to our elders. I mean, our elders. I ain't talking about some old ass man who yeah, I was in the civil rights era and man, we fought hard for integration. Man, I took some big lumps upside my head so I could drink out the same water fountain and sit on the same toilet seat that white folks sent in, and then ultimately to move in the neighborhoods that they have and to send my kids to their schools and to have them jobs, you know, and have them promote me on the jobs. Yeah. No. There has to come a period of time, brothers and sisters, that the leadership of us as Africans and those who believe in those tenets say to our people, it's time. Damn all of the politicking. The hell with God. It's time. We have to go. We have to go home. We're going home. We're kicking the Chinese ass out. We're kicking the Arabs ass out. We're kicking the Indians out. We're kicking the Europeans out. And even in North Africa, we're kicking their ass out. The continent of Africa, along with the islands that are near Africa, you know, whatever they are, Cape Verdes, the Madagascars, whatever, they are ours. We are reclaiming. And we have a human right to reclaim our birth place. Because you and I both know that if we were in Europe doing this to Europeans, they would want that. Nobody would want somebody to come into their land and to subjugate them. Because Europeans have done it, and it's been hundreds of years that really the indigenous people have amalgamated or been part of the European conquest. It's hard to say if they're indigenous or not. No, they act Spanish. They act Portuguese. They speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese. They act European. They act British. They act French. No, it's over. And not a moment, damn it, too soon. It's over. I wish it would happen yesterday. But damn it, come on. Make it happen now. Tell the French, no, you're out. It's over. It's over. Francophone my ass, it's over. Tell the British, you have been the worst of enslavement of our people. And the image that you created for yourself, that you're all pious. And not a damn thing that you wear, those diamonds, none of that stuff, came from Europe. Came from the British Isles. None of it. It's over. Reclaim, recapture, restore our history, our culture, our traditions, our land. Think I've been saying for a long time, I wouldn't lift a goddamn, excuse me, y'all. I'm sorry. I told y'all it's going to emotion. I wouldn't lift a, to fight to stay here, to go out there and march and have, I did that, y'all. I did when I was a kid, when I was young, when I was a teenager. I fought for open housing. I was, even as a young adult, I was a member of the NAACP. I was vice president. I wouldn't fight a minute with Caucasians for nothing. I don't hate anybody, brothers and sisters. I don't. I hate no one. But let me tell you what I do hate. I hate the Europeans who gave an image of us as Africans as savage. Gave an image to the world of Africans who, I mean, everywhere now on this planet, nobody, everybody who is dark, even they are indigenous to that community, are shamed. Hate being dark. Hate being melanated. Bleaching cream. top selling. Have you seen Serena? I know. Serena all lightened up. Man. See what it has done to us. And in Africa, we allow foreigners to come in to take land, to buy this, to buy that. I'm saying this must stop. And everything that was done, that happened, you did. No. Then here, you take your money back. Get the hell out. Or we look at your track record. You did this, that, and the other to our people. No, you ain't getting a damn thing. Get the hell out. Or I should hang your ass now. You know, if you have children and they have children and they have children and so forth and so on, what do you want to leave them? Do you want them to go through the same sick madness of trying to make people love us, trying to make people give us rights, give us the same privileges as those who have? No, you don't. Because it hasn't worked. And it's not going to work. No, what you want to do is be free of the madness. Be free of the insanity. Be free of the disease, the sickness. That's what you want to do. I only have a couple more minutes. Once again, thank those who are listening. Although I didn't get a call today, but hey, Dr. Umar Johnson will be my guest on Wednesday. And we'll have a good conversation. We'll find out what's happening with him, what he's been doing, how the school is going, if everything is cool. You know, I know Brother Umar Johnson has gone through a number of things, but I've seen him recently and heard him recently, and he reached out. I'm glad he did. And then on Friday, I'll be talking with Bashir Muhammad Akin. Well, Patah, excuse me. He has the name of Patah. Bashir Muhammad Patah Akinyele, who writes many times for the Atlanta Black Star. Not Atlanta Black. Yeah, he has been in the Atlanta Black Star. Yes. But Your Black World, because I've seen him in Atlanta Black Star. We have a caller, Mama Nabantu. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I didn't know I was calling. I just realized I missed today's session.
Sure did, Mama Nabantu. But it's okay, dear. It's okay.
It's in the archives, right?
That's right. And I'm about to go off right now. But I will talk with you later, okay?
All right. No problem.
Thank you, dear.
Soon you talk.
Okay, I sure will. Peace.
Okay, all right. Peace.
Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. Oh, once again, Mama Tamu will be my guest on Monday. Although Monday is Renoko's birthday, but we'll celebrate on Wednesday next week. Because Mama Tamu, she has a book out and she has a book signing. And so I want to publicize that, give her the microphone, and have her talk and tell the story of the Republic of New Africa and the shootout they had down in Mississippi and the imprisonment of Baba Hakima. Like I said, I remember when he got out of prison in 1981, I believe it was. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you.
Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace, family.